If you want to get your Bibles and turn to Numbers 13 is where we will pick up here, Numbers 13 and 14 in just a few moments. We are spending the Sunday mornings of this quarter looking at various Bible characters or various characters from the Old Testament, and our goal for today is to look at the character of Caleb. Last week we looked at Aaron, and you think about the life of Aaron, and unfortunately we most of the time put it in a category where we look at the problems that Aaron had, we look at the shortfalls that he had, the mistakes that he made, and sometimes we lose sight of those good things that were a part of his life. And I thought we'd spend some time this morning looking at a character that you really can't say anything bad about. There's not much as you look at the life of Caleb that you would say is a negative quality. In fact, everything that we see about Caleb in the Old Testament is something that we need to model our lives after. And so just as a way of brief introduction, Caleb was born just like Aaron was as a slave in Egypt. He's a bit younger than Aaron. I don't know if any of you remember how old Aaron was when he came out of Egypt. About how much younger is Caleb than Aaron was? About 40 years. About 44 years younger than Aaron was, about 41 years younger than Moses was. So here's a man. He comes out of Egypt. Moses is leading them when he comes out. Moses is 80, and here's Caleb. He's about 39 years of age. He was a witness to the goodness of God in the same way that all of Israel was. And that's important to know as you begin to look at the story of Caleb, that he didn't see anything that wasn't privy for everybody else to see. He saw the same plagues come upon the Egyptians. He saw the same exodus of God's people. He saw the same Red Sea parted. He saw all of these things transpire in the same way that all of the rest of the Israelites did, from the bread from heaven, the water from the rocks, the events that they spent a year there at Mount Sinai, and all of the rest. He was witness to that. And so when you begin to look at the part that he played and being one of those 12 spies that went into the promised land and came back, why is it that those 12 men were not united in their report? They had seen this from the time that Moses came into Egypt and went to Pharaoh, from the time that Moses came into Egypt and went to the Israelites with that message from God in Exodus chapter 6, they'd all seen and heard the same thing. What is it that makes Caleb different? Why was Caleb not like the other 10? Or why was Caleb not like the majority of the other spies that went into that land? I want us to spend the time we've got looking at about, I think, 9 qualities. We'll have to look at them quickly. But 9 qualities that we see in the life of Caleb that you and I need to have in our lives. When you read the Old Testament, particularly the book of Numbers, and in Joshua chapter 14, you're going to read some, I think it's 5 or 6 times, this statement that says that Caleb, either fully or wholly, or there's another adverb, can't think of it right now, but wholly followed the Lord. 5 or 6 times that is said about Caleb. What was it that was different about him? And as we prayed, what is it that I need to have in my life so that the Lord can say about me, I am somebody who wholly, fully follows the Lord. 9 different things I want us to see very quickly. Number 1, Caleb knew the will of God about the situation that they were in, that the Israelites were in. He knew the will of God. Moses had come. Moses had told them what the plan was to get them out of Egypt. Moses had told them of the land that the Lord had promised to them. And so Caleb knew that God wanted the Israelites to leave Egypt. He knew that. He knew that God wanted them to travel to a land that he was going to give them. Caleb knew what God expected of the people, that he wanted them to trust in him and that he wanted the people to go in and to conquer the land through faith in God. Now, did anybody else know this? They all knew that. Like we said, he knows, he's witness to the same thing everybody else is. But there's a difference in that somehow Caleb puts this whole picture together. And he recognizes that the will of God in this situation is for these things to transpire. And so just like Caleb, we need to have that same heart. Just like Caleb, we need to have the heart that says, here's the will of God for my life. And I don't care what everybody else says. I don't care what everybody else is doing. Here's the will of God, and I know it. Here's what I know God wants to transpire in my life to be pleasing to Him. And here's what I'm going to do. You know, you think about what kind of pressure must there have been on Joshua and Caleb. Sometimes we talk about Joshua and Caleb's just kind of the next two words we tag on there, but we don't think about Caleb much. What's different about these two guys? Why is it that one, they didn't come back with the same report, and two, they didn't give in to the peer pressure to go ahead and side with the majority? Well, they trusted in God. What does that mean? What does it mean if you trust in God? You know that God's going to take care of everything. If you trust in God, you have faith in God. Did Caleb have faith? Look at these, I think it's five different things that are on here. Did Caleb have faith that God was good? Had he seen God's goodness? Let's see. Brought him out of the land of Egypt. We need something to eat. Oh, here's bread from heaven. Oh, we need something to drink. Oh, well, just go get it out of the water. Go get it out of the rock. Had he seen God's goodness? Man, would that build your faith? Have you seen God's goodness in your life? Does that build your faith? Have you seen God's goodness all around you and what's transpiring in your life? Does that not build your trust and your love and your faith in God to see His goodness? He had faith that God was good. He had faith in God's knowledge and God's wisdom. Did those other 10 spies have that same faith in God's knowledge and God's wisdom? Boy, God doesn't know what He's doing. God brought us out here. You know what? It'd be better for us to go back to Egypt. What's that saying about the knowledge and the wisdom of God? He's not very smart. He brought us out here. It'd be better for us to die. Yep, it'd be better for us to go back to Egypt and to die than to be here. What kind of faith is that?
And David, you have to have the faith that even when adversity comes, it isn't just say, well, I have faith in God. It's when God allows other things to happen in your life that you don't want to happen. You still trust in Him.
Yeah. No matter what happens, you know, is adversity going to come to our lives? Yes. Is that a test of your faith? Yes. When adversity comes? How strong is your faith? How strong is your faith in the integrity of God? What did God promise to these people? Was He good to His word? Was He somebody that you could trust what He told you? And not just that He would do what He was going to say, but have faith in the power of God that He could do what he said He would do. I mean, these spies come back from the promised land, and all there's giants in the land. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. We can't do it. Where's the faith? One, in the integrity of God. God said it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And two, faith in the power of God. Who are they trusting in? They're trusting in them. Don?
Well, the people saw God in the pillar of fire and the cloud constantly. So they told Moses, why have you brought us out in the desert to die? So they were trusting in Moses, not in God.
Yes.
So they were expecting everything from Moses, knowing Moses was a man.
Right.
He could do nothing. So they putting their trust in man, not in God.
They did put their trust quite a bit in Moses. And so when Moses, we talked about it last week, when Moses is out of their presence for 40 days up on Mount Sinai, all of a sudden, what are we supposed to do? Well, let's make us a god so that we feel better, because we've lost our safety net. We've lost our safety blanket there in Moses, and we don't know what we're supposed to do. But if you put your faith in God, Will this build your faith? Is God good? Does God know what he's talking about? Is he good to his word? Just like Caleb and a host of others in the Old Testament, we need to have a faith that's unwavering. Have a faith that's not going to move. No matter the circumstances, no matter what comes at us, that our faith, it doesn't rock. It doesn't move. It doesn't yield. It stands strong and grows even stronger in the face of adversity. Number three, not only did Caleb know the will of God and have faith, but Caleb clearly saw the difficulties that were at hand. You know, it's not that the other 10 spies, it's not that they were the only one who saw the giants. Don't you think Joshua and Caleb saw the giants? Hello. You know, it's not that it's, look in Numbers 13, since we turn there. Verse 28, here's their report that they come back. I want to back up here a second. Moses sends them out. Verse 17. Moses sends them out. Who's the them in verse 17? Which ones? The 12 of them. Sends them out. Verse 21. So they went up and spied out the land. Who's the they in verse 21? The 12 spies. Verse 22. They went up through the south. 12 spies. Verse 23, they came to the valley of Eshcol, verse 23, and they cut a cluster of grapes there. They carried it back. Verse 25, they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Verse 26, they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation, showed them the fruit of the land. Verse 27, they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Who's talking in verse 27? Is this the 10, the 2, or the 12? So the 12 are involved in saying, verse 28, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Is there any part of that, other than the word nevertheless, perhaps, to begin it, is there any part of that that Joshua and Caleb would not have been a part of? Did they see the cities fortified? They see the giants? They recognize this was a land that devoured itself almost? Yes. They knew all of that. They recognized that Caleb recognized that there was hardship, toil, and sacrifice that was involved in doing the will of God, but Caleb was willing to give it. It's funny sometimes that, you know, that we see difficulties coming and we start to slow down. We see difficulties coming at us and we start to maybe put the brakes on. We see difficulties coming and we just stop. We stop what we're supposed to be doing as a Christian. Perhaps we stop letting our light shine as much as we should. Maybe we see difficulties coming, and whatever those difficulties are, whether it be someone who we know is going to give us a hard time about being a Christian, or whether it's adversity that's coming from our employer or whatever, we'll start to slow down and stop and back up from being a Christian. Here's Caleb. Where's his faith? Keep your foot on the gas, friend.
I like how it says, Caleb.
Right, in verse
30.
Yeah. What does that say about, you get to verse 30. Then Caleb, here's this report about the people that are in the land. And instead, is all of it true? Sure, these reports, the reports of these people in these cities and all of that's true. But yet he's not going to let these majority have the only say. He's not just going to sit back and say, that could be right. Well, I don't really want to say anything. Maybe we'll just see how this goes. No. Caleb's faith wouldn't let him do that. He saw the same difficulties that they did. Nevertheless, he would not allow himself to see God in the shadow of the difficulties. meaning he wasn't going to let the difficulties and the problems build up so high and there to be so many of them that you've got all of these difficulties. And here's God over in the shadows. God's so small, he's kind of over here, and he's in the shadow of all of these horrible things. Well, here's God, and boy, God won't be able to handle this one. He wasn't going to let that happen. That's what the ten were doing. The ten were putting God down there in the shadow. Well, boy, this is so big, and well, God, I don't know that God can take care of this. No, we need to be like Caleb. We need to recognize difficulties that are coming. We don't need to close our eyes to difficulties and problems, but we need to put them in their proper place. And that's where this fourth one comes in, that he placed, instead of putting God in the shadow of the difficulties, he put the difficulties and the problems in the shadow of God. These things are just small compared to God. Trudy?
I was just going to say, like you were saying, that when the times get tough and when they were having a hard time, I bet a lot of them had the problem of murmuring.
Yeah, the Israelites definitely had a problem with murmuring, didn't they? They have a little complainite problem that they had a hard time keeping their mouths shut sometimes. And was that going to create some difficulties? Is that one thing that helped to create difficulties in Numbers 13 and 14? People talking, and not just these reports that come back, but recognition that when these reports come back, that the people's hearts melted at these reports. This is jumping ahead, but look in chapter 14. Think about what Trudy's saying. Look in chapter 14. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel, what? That's the favorite word for the children of Israel. They complained against Moses and Aaron and the whole congregation. Why'd you bring us out here? Here they are dealing. Here's Moses. Can you imagine being Moses and trying to lead the complainites? And every time you turn around, there's something wrong. Every time you turn around, there's some kind of lack of faith being shown in some way. And how many times do you read about Moses going to God and saying, God, what are we going to do with these people? Think about Caleb here. Caleb took these problems, and he put the problems, instead of putting God way down in the shadow, he recognized that God was the Almighty God. Problems, even giants, even fortified cities, these aren't a problem for God. And so the faith that he had recognized he was not afraid to go where God told him to go. Even when man said, oh, you can't go in there. There's no way we can go in there. Caleb said, God told us to go in there. I don't know anything else to do but what God told me to do. He was not afraid to go and fight whomever God told him to fight. Even if these people appeared to be the most ferocious and horrible people, and how can we ever overcome them? Caleb wasn't concerned about what we can do. He knew what God could do. And so he put God on the throne. And he let God be the Almighty God, and to say, these giants, yeah, well, to me, they look big. And these fortified cities, to me, they look like, you know, we could never overpower them. But with God on our side, that's a little bit different. We need to be like Caleb. And we need to see God as large and in charge. And instead of letting the world be large and in charge, and instead of letting turmoil and difficulties in our life be those things that just surround us and those things that overcome us, to say, no, there's somebody who's bigger than this. There's somebody who's bigger than me and my lack of faith, and I need to let God be on the throne. I need to follow after what God says. Number five. How much time we got? 17 minutes. Caleb's great faith gave him great optimism. You saw what happens here. They come in, they give this report. The people say in verse 28, well, the people who dwell in the land are strong. Cities are fortified. Verse 29, the Amalekites dwell there. And we get to verse 30, and here's Caleb. Quieted the people. And Caleb says in verse 30, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Is that optimism or stupidity? That's faith. And Caleb's faith allowed him to be optimistic, not pessimistic, but optimistic about all the things that were lying before them. Did he see a land that had giants? Yes. Did he see a land flowing with milk and honey? Yeah. Did he see a land with fortified walls? Sure. Did he see a land with these great clusters of grapes and fruit and all of these things? That he saw both sides of it. And yet he recognized that God was a God who was in charge of both sides of it. And so he says, let's go. Guys, don't sit around here. You know, it was like they were going to form some kind of committee to decide, well, should we go and take it or not? Well, okay, let's get a committee together and let's spend 2 weeks talking about whether we should do this or not. And at the end of 2 weeks, we'll let the committee come back and let us know if we're going to go and take it or not. Caleb says, forget this, people. You know, we don't need to sit around and talk about, you know, well, there's these problems, there's these problems, there's these problems. Remember the first one? Caleb knew the will of God. He had faith. He saw the difficulties. But guess what? God's in charge here. God's told us to do it. Instead of sitting around and talking about the difficulties that surround it, God says, let's go. Caleb says, let's go. We can overcome this. Is that faith? How are they going to overcome it? There's giants, people. How are these short little Israelites going to compare to these giants? They're going to get smeared, right? I mean, you got a little league team walking on the baseball field with whoever's good at baseball right now. I'm not following baseball, so whoever's good, you got this little league team walking on. You know, you're going to have the mercy rule and after the first batter. But his faith said, let's go and let's take it. Let's trust in God. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, so then let us, we walk by what and not by what? There were two of these spies walking by faith. There were two of them walking by sight. And if we walk by sight, there's a lot of things that we're not going to do for God. If we walk by faith, we're unlimited in what we'll be able to do for God. We need to be like Caleb and see God as our driving force. Number six, Caleb was not swept away by the pessimistic, negative reports that were coming and these pleas to disobey God. Look in verse 31. Caleb in verse 30 says, let's go and take it. And they say in verse 31, the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able. What's their first word? We. We are not able. We're not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they spied out. And they said, the land through which we have gone, this land that we have spied out, they said, is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. We saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. That's interesting at the end of that verse. Not only are we grasshoppers in their sight, that's what we usually think about. Here's these giants, and to these giants, we are like grasshoppers in their sight. But what do they also say? We're like grasshoppers in our sight. What does that say about their faith? Where did they put God? God's over there in the shadows. God's kind of a second thought in this matter. It's not just that they're giants and we're not, and they look at us and they see us as small. We ourselves look at ourselves and say, we can't do this. Oh, ye of little faith. Verse chapter 14, congregation lifted up their voices. They cried out. They complained against Moses. Verse 2, the end of verse 2, they said, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness, why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword that our wives and children should become victims? We won't have time to get to it, but do you remember You remember the end of the story when God refuses to give them the land, and he sends them in the wilderness for those 20 and older would die in those 40 years that they're wandering the wilderness. But the statement is made, your children, notice what they're saying here. Why'd you bring us out here, God? You know, why are you going to kill off our wives and children? And the statement made to that nation when God sends them into the wilderness for those 20 and older to die, the statement is, your children whom you saw as victims, they will inherit. They will enter into the land. And so they did. The end of verse 3, would it not be better, they said, for us to return to Egypt? Can you imagine? They had been slaves, not just slaves. Remember the whole issue about the making of bricks and the straw and then the removal of straw and trying to make the bricks with the stubble and then trying to make the bricks with no straw and no stubble at all? Oh, I'd rather go back to that. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? Verse 4, so they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. We're not happy with Moses. We're not happy with him. He's brought us out here to die. Let's get somebody else to take us back. To take us back to be slaves, to be oppressed. In the land of Egypt, that'd be better than being out here with Moses and God. Folks, is that scary? I mean, this is not some isolated event. You know, do people still have this kind of heart? Where the godly leaders are trying to take them in one direction and somebody says, oh man, let's not go over there. Let's go over, let's get somebody else, take us over there. We don't want to go in this direction. Godly leaders trying to take them in the way that God wants them to go. And they said, boy, let's just select a leader and let's return to Egypt. And here's Caleb. And Caleb's not going to follow these kind of reports and these pleas. And so Caleb, Joshua and Caleb both, they tear their clothes. Verse 5 says that Moses and Aaron fell on their faces. Verse 6 says that Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb, who were among those who had spied out the land, they tore their clothes. They spoke to all the children of Israel and saying, verse 7, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with who?
Us.
Don't fear them. They're our bread. They don't have any protection. They're right there in our hands. The Lord's giving them to us. Don't fear them. The Lord's with us. The Lord's not with them. And here are all these negative reports, but Caleb, here's this word we've been using, trusted in God. He wasn't about ready to fear those people. And we need to be like Caleb, and we need to stand up for God. When everybody else is wanting to question God and His integrity and His abilities and His power, we need to stand up for God and say, wait a minute. God told us this is the way it was going to be. Let's just go and take the land. It's interesting that he begins verse 8, if the Lord delights in us, here's what He's going to do. He's going to bring us into this land. But you all are taking us on a path where the Lord's not going to delight in us and we won't get the land. Caleb stands up for what's right. He stands up for God and was not going to let these people have the only say. You notice in verse 10, after he gets done saying that, what do the people want to do? Let's get rid of him. Let's get rid of this guy with this unwavering faith. Let's stone him and get rid of him so we can go back to what we want to do. Here's Caleb and his faith, and his faithful obedience is what saved him. Everybody else goes into the everybody else his age anyway, 20 and above, and that's where he was when he's sent to spy out the land. He's 40 years old, so he should have died. He should have been among those who went into the wilderness and died. But notice the statement that's made, and it's made several times in this chapter. We'll just look in verse 24. God says, God's talking about their punishment and says, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has wholly followed me. What does God say about Caleb? He's different. He's not like everybody else. He doesn't have this lack of faith. He's got a different spirit in him, and he has followed me fully. I will bring him into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. And as you read through, again, at least five or six times, God talks about Caleb, and he says, here's a man who has wholly followed me. And I don't know of any words we should want the Lord to say about us more than that. That in the midst of all of these other things that have happened, he comes to this situation where the majority of the people want to turn against God. Are we living in a nation where the majority of the people have turned against God? Yeah. And here's Caleb. Is he going to just sit idly by and let it go? No. Is he going to not say anything? No. Is he going to stand up and say, God is with us? Let's go and do what he says. Why aren't we saying that? God is with us. We don't need to be timid. Was Caleb in the minority? Yes. Are we in the minority? Good part of the time? Yes. Who cares? If you put God over in the shadows of the problems, then yeah, you might look at yourself in a minority. But if you say God is in charge, and all of these little things that are happening, they're just happening in the shadow of the Almighty God, guess what? I'm not in a minority if I've got God on my side. And that's where Caleb is. He's faithfully following the Lord, and we need to be like him, to be holy and to obey the Lord fully. Go to Joshua chapter 14. We've had to run through the story of Joshua and of the story of Caleb. But I think you know the end of the story over the rest of the story over in Joshua chapter 14. It's been 45 years between Numbers 14 and Joshua 14. You've got a period of 45 years. You've got the period that they went and wandered in the wilderness. And then you've got the period of time that it took to conquer the land. And so Caleb, if you look down in, where is it? Look in the end of verse 10, says that he is 85 years old. Here's Caleb. He's now in the promised land where he wanted to go, 45 years earlier. He's now there. He's been brought in, and the nation of Israel has finally conquered this land. But even at 85, was he done? Was he done serving the Lord? Say, oh, well, we'll just let all these young people conquer the land. I mean, when he says in Joshua chapter 14, when he says, give me this mountain in verse 12, is he just saying that? Is give me this as my inheritance. I'll take it and I'll go and I'll retire here and I'll live a nice quiet life. That's not a retirement village on that mountain. You know, they are still the inhabitants. The pagan nations are still on that mountain. It's not that he's just going there to retire. He's going there to further drive out the inhabitants. Even at 85, he's not done. He didn't leave it up to the younger generation. And brethren, we don't need to retire from serving God. God doesn't have a retirement plan. Have you read about it in here? There's no retirement plan in here. Well, you reach a certain age and you can sit back and let everybody else do it. There's no retirement plan. And Caleb wasn't ready to retire. Even at 85, he had waited 45 years to finally get there, and now he's there. And he says, I want to keep going. Brethren, there's a lot we can learn from Caleb, and I wish we had more time to talk about it. But you think about those words that we looked at back in Numbers chapter 13. And you think about Caleb saying, in the midst of all of these words that they're saying, well, we can't do it, and here's the reason, and all of these difficulties, Caleb just says, let us. Who does that involve? Every one of us. It's not, well, we'll go and conquer it and we'll show you. Caleb says, let us. Let's everybody do this. Let us go up. We've got work to do. We've got a task that lies before us. And while the Lord is giving the land into our hands, what do we have to do? We have to go and take it. We have to drive out the inhabitants. There is work for us to do. Let us go up. Should we wait to do it? Should we wait a couple weeks and figure out if this is a good idea or not? Let's go up at once. Let's not sit around anymore. Let's not wait anymore. Let us, all of us, go up. Let's get the work done at once. Why should we do that? Because we are able, because God is able. We are able because God is with us. And folks, if we can come to any point of having a faith like Caleb, we're going to be unstoppable. If we can strive to have that level of faith in our lives, what's the world going to do to stop us? What's ungodliness going to do to stop us? Caleb wasn't going to be stopped. And even at 85, he wasn't going to be stopped. He said, I'm going to follow the Lord no matter what it takes. There's a lot. I hope that you'll go back and look at Numbers 13 and 14 and then Joshua 14 and see what other lessons you can learn from Caleb and then make application of them so that we can be better prepared, so that we can be better stated about us, that we wholly follow the Lord just like Caleb did. All right, we'll break for just a few minutes and begin worship at 10.